Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this morning. Today, we have Sister John Dominic, and we are actually going to be discussing vices and virtues. And we're all, I think, struggling with vices, especially during this time of year. It can be very difficult, hard, people are impatient, or maybe this is the time of year where your virtue just really kicks in and it's a time of giving. I don't know. But this time of Advent that we are in, is really a time to reflect on where you're at with God, Jesus, his birthday is coming up, and maybe something that you can do in your family or do individually of something that you can give Jesus on his birthday. If that's giving something up, if it's doing extra prayers, or maybe making sure you get to confession this month, you know, and that's the gift you're going to give Jesus on his birthday. Whatever it is, do something special for him. So try to keep that in the forefront of your mind as we get through this Advent. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Sister John Dominic. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. We have a special guest today. I am thrilled to have on Sister John Dominic. Welcome to Women Made New, Sister.
Thank you.
I would love to start us all in a prayer. Would you mind leading us in that, please?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit upon us to enlighten our mind and heart in this conversation today, that our words may be your words, that we may do all that we can to bring your sons and daughters to your household in heaven, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ opened those gates for us. And we entrust all this and to the loving hands of our Mother Mary. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful, Sister. Thank you. So I recently was recording with Sister John Dominic on the Catholic Sphere, and it was so much fun, Sister. Wasn't that great?
Oh, my gosh. It was great. I was like, could we just keep this conversation going all day? It was awesome.
I love it. So that is going to be airing, and I will put that on social media, and that's actually going to be coming up soon, I think, here. But I got familiar with Sister actually filming that a couple weeks ago. And so we had great conversation, but I wanted to continue it. And I know one of my dear friends did one of your programs, the Disciple of Christ. Can you tell us about that program? I really want to talk about that today.
Thank you. Yeah. So Disciple of Christ, education and virtue is something that really kind of evolved out of when I was a principal of a school. And we were really intentionally thinking, how can we help children, you know, raise up a generation who understands what virtue is and how to live it? And to be honest, you know, sometimes when we talk about the word virtue, it's like people kind of scratch their head and are thinking, what is that, you know? And so my teachers, you know, they looked at me and they said, Sister, we would love to do that, but we really need help in this. This is something we're not familiar with. And so I said, fair enough. So what we developed were resources that teachers could use in schools, but also that it also could overflow beautifully into the home, and so that we could continue that education, which of course we know that the parents are the primary educators, so that what was happening in the school could also be happening intentionally at the home, so that the conversation, you know, that as we talk about what virtue is really just like, you know, the habit of doing good.
So, Sister, what I'm seeing these days, and I want to break it down for our audience, is that I see a lot of my girlfriends and just parents in general struggling within the home with their teens in really teaching the faith, right? And also just cultivating that virtue within the home, because I feel like there is such an attack on our teens and their faith, but also their minds. and they're grasping and catching their minds, especially even with their iPhones. It's like they're keepers almost. It's really bad. And I say that because I'm experiencing that within my own home with the phones and having to have the restrictions and having teenagers now. It's just this whole new world. And I have a 16-year-old who's driving, and it's just like, what's happening right now, sister? What's going on? You know? And my goodness, I have a lot of experience in education. And even for me, these waters are rough. And so I can imagine other parents out there really struggling, and to bring this virtue. And that's why this program I wanted to highlight, because we really need to just go back to the ABCs and the tradition of our faith and go back to, okay, what are the virtues? Because these virtues that God has given us, the Holy Spirit gives us, sister, wouldn't you say they almost are an armor against the culture, against the world, against the attacks of the evil one? And we don't realize, we just think, oh, Sunday school virtue. Okay, no, we're talking about, we're armoring ourselves in the spiritual warfare that's going on, and we'd be armoring our children.
You've said that so well. And I think one thing you said early on, which is so true, is that really this is a battle for their minds and their hearts, you know?
Yes.
That, so when we talk about virtue, you know, it's just, as I said, it's just this habit of doing good. And we have, as baptized Christians, you know, as Catholic Christians, you know, we've been given this grace at our baptism, you know, where God infuses us with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. He's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the grace to live the human virtues, or the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So this has all been gifted to us. It's been, you know, infused into us and into your children, you know, as parents. But we have to educate them in it. That's why we talk about education and virtue. And what is education? Education is drawing out. So we want to bring this out of them, and the way for them to understand what virtue is and be able to imitate it in their lives, they have to see it modeled for them. And so this is the heart part, but also there's the mind, and there's a word that has come to be understood in the neuroscience and interpersonal neurobiology. The word is called neuroplasticity.
Wow.
And what this means is that it's the ability of the brain to change in its structure as it exists throughout the lifespan of a child, or even throughout our lifetime. So as the brain, you know, fires together, it wires together. And we see that this attack that's coming on the young people through social media, through the internet, that their brains can literally be rewired either for goodness or for drawn into not goodness, you know, to vice. And that's what we have to be fully attentive as educators and as parents, and to understand what they're being exposed to, so that we can protect them, so that these you know, neurons don't fire together in the wrong way. And what's sad is that those people that are working against us in the culture know this. This is what's been discovered in the neuroscience, that they're also using this as a weapon against it in the culture. So we have to fully arm ourselves to do that, to counter it.
Again, we are talking with Sister John Dominic today about her program, Disciples of Christ, and it truly is to break it down, education in virtue. And I know there are parents out there, and I'm saying this to myself as well, that we don't do 100% great job in always practicing that virtue, especially during the holidays and patience, a lot going on, and goodness, and especially if you have teenagers within your home, which I am in the thick of right now, wow. That virtue isn't always in the forefront of our mind. But I think it should be. I think it is a big deal. And I think it is more important and vital than any of us realize. And we don't even give it a second thought in the span of maybe a month or a week. Right, sister? It's just kind of like virtue. What? Oh, yeah, church. And you kind of like associate that with something you do on Sundays. But this is actually a lifestyle that you really instill in the children, in the home. And a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you said I talk about it as being a way of life. And when you talk about, you know, there's a quote by St. Gregory of Nyssa, which says, the goal of the virtuous life is to become like God. Now, that's like, oh, whoa, you know, how can I be like God, right? But it's not like it's godly, holy, you know, how to walk in imitation of Jesus Christ, you know. And as I mentioned earlier, when we talk about grace, you know, what does grace do? Grace enables us where God actually shares his life with us. So as we're raising, you know, your children, you want them to live in grace, to be, you know, raised up in God's grace. But virtues are what gives us this interior proper order, you know, ordering this integrated whole life. And the amazing thing, Kristalina, is that when I talked about the neuroscience, is that from this study during this time of the decade of the brain, that they discovered that when you live balance, resilience, insight, and empathy, those are cultivated in young people, that they have an ordered, integrated mind, that they live a happier life, right? And they have what's referred to in this one book called The Yes Brain by Dr. Dan Siegel. Well, those correspond beautifully with the cardinal virtues. So what I get excited about here is that we know as Catholics that faith and reason do not contradict. And that as you are raising your children in understanding what the cardinal virtues are and the related virtues, that you're also leading them to a healthy mind. They have this healthy mind and heart, which better equips them for what they're going to be encountering out there in the culture, which is coming at them all the time, all of us, you know. It's a battle that we can't be ignorant and think they're going to get it. We have to be intentional, educate them, and most especially model it for them and how we live. But we have to first know what it is. And that's why our resources are great, because they're simple and intuitive, that anyone can do this.
Anyone can do this. Any mom, any dad, any couple together with their children can do this. And I love that word that you said, sister, and it's intentional. And we as Catholics right now have got to be intentional in our the way of life, in our homes, in our prayer life, and how we are outside of the home, and especially what we allow into the home. That's the other thing, because things that seem so just innocent, especially on TV or in apps or different things we're exposing our children to, may not be as innocent as we think they are, right? And we have to be very, very careful. And we can use the virtue as almost that pinpoint of, is this of God or is this not?
Exactly. That's why I go back to that word that I used about neuroplasticity, which is kind of sounds like, oh my gosh, this is not a science lesson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's okay. Intimidating. I'm not going to lie, sister. That is intimidating. But,
okay, so look at it really, really simply, okay? So it's how the brain wires. Okay. So like you know, how we talk about, we can become desensitized towards things,
yes,
right? And just as you said, so it's actually the neuroscience shows that the more we have this exposure to these things, then we become less sensitive to it. And that it impedes this formation of conscience that you're trying to do. So it could be as simple as watching an innocent TV show, but they may have things in there that are counter to how you're trying to raise your children. And the brain begins to look at that and say, well, it gets attracted to that. So it's this intentionality that it's really important to understand what that big intimidating word is, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. That it is a battle for the minds and the hearts of your children. And it's okay to, I'd say, shelter them from those things, because you're working so hard to raise them in the faith. And sometimes, you know, the harder word to say instead of that big word neuroplasticity is the word no, right?
yes, that is true. And I want to go back to the basics here, okay? And we're talking about virtues. And some people listening actually may not even know what the virtues are. So can you just break that down for me, sister?
Absolutely. Okay, so virtue, I'm going to say very simple, is this habit, this of doing good. So you form this repetition of doing something, you know, and you working on it, and then you eventually begin to form towards this goodness or this interior disposition towards goodness. And then we talk about the theological virtues, theo, which means that orients us towards God. And I tell people, look, if you go to Hobby Lobby or to Michael's, you've got those down. That's just simply faith, hope, and love. It's everywhere. All right. So those you got, okay?
Yes. All right.
The ones which a little bit are more difficult are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Mm. You know, now if we would put up maybe in the sports bars the word like temperance, then we begin to write, you know, or the bakery that you like in the neighborhood. Okay, we get that. Okay, let's have, you know, fortitude, you know, is this the strength to pull through things. And then we have prudence, which is, you know, right reason and action, you know, think before you act. You know, and then justice is, you know, we give to God what is due and then show that to our neighbors. But the beautiful thing is that St. Thomas Aquinas, he aligned with all of those virtues, a lot of what he called daughter virtues, but I just call them the related virtues because that's a word that we can more understand. Mm-hmm. But we, in our materials, what we did is we color coded everything.
Oh, nice.
So that, yeah, exactly. So, and everything is indestructible. It's laminated. And then the beautiful thing in our virtue cards is that when we show the virtues, we give like 7 different examples that the children gave you illustrations of it. So you can see what perseverance looks like and what it sounds like, what affability looks like and what it sounds like.
Okay, let's go to that word. Way. What affability? Because explain affability, because a lot of people listening don't know what that is, and I need a refresher.
Exactly.
So
and,
what is
and
that?
So affability is something, is friendliness. So think, if you can think of the pictures you see of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, and he's got that great smile on his face, all right? He's our saint that we use as an example for affability, is that he's smiling all the time, you know? So it's friendliness, easy to approach. And actually, kindergarten and first graders can understand that, because it's waving, it's smiling at somebody. And what's beautiful is that in the virtue cards is we're teaching the children to be intentional, you know, like look at the other person, you know, and say, how are you today? Or say hello. So we're recognizing the dignity of the other person and how we encounter them. And those, so you give them the words and the looks like and sounds like, that's how helps them to see this in everyday life. As we said, it's a way of life.
It is. It absolutely is. And again, we are talking with Sister John Dominic, and we are talking about her program, Disciples of Christ Education and Virtue. And this is not just for children. To be honest, I really think this is a crash course also for adults, that if you do implement this in your home, it is something that I think we all can use right now to counter the culture and the attacks on our family and the onslaught coming against the hearts and minds of our children. And that one word I'm going to be using a lot is intentional. We all, to fight the culture right now, have got to be intentional with our actions and what it is we're doing and cultivating in our homes when we have our children there. Because as hard as it may be sometimes, always remember the end goal here, and there is an end of that. One day your children are going to walk out of your home into the world and not come back. They are going to go to college. They are going to become their own adult, and they walk out with all the tools, the foundation, and basically the spiritual weapons that you give them. And if you give them nothing or little things here and there that you think they're just going to get by going to church on Sunday, and then they're going to walk out into the world, I'm sorry, they're going to get eaten alive. And this is a way to set a foundation. And this is phenomenal. I love this program because it breaks it down ABCs. And it's something, sister, I actually am going to start come January. I think this is something great because people always want to just start over and fresh and new. And this is an excellent thing. I think families can actually come together and do to start putting that foundation down, to cultivate that virtue within their homes, to put that framework, and it will help all ages in their family understand how to live a more virtuous life, because we all need help in that right now, because there's so much anger and fear and frustration and overwhelm, and our faith gets buried in that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one thing I was thinking about as you were talking, you know, especially when we, you know, that you said that this is also, you know, we talk about it's for young people, but it's also for parents. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we understand the language of virtue and that becomes infused, like we move beyond words like nice. And one of the things, you know, we're talking about with parenting or even, you know, with educators is that, you know, children need to be, you know, safe, seen, soothed, and secure, you know, and by the parents, the adults that are surround them. And we want to be able to give them meaningful feedback, you know, and the language of virtue enables you as a parent to give your children meaningful feedback that they feel that you've seen them, right? So if they've done something, and if we go back to the word affability, and you've watched your child for a period of time, you know, and you go to them and you say, you know, I've really noticed that you've really been living this virtue of affability, that when we go out or we go to our friend's house or something, you're very, you know, friendly to the parents, you know, you notice them, you know, you're very kind in your words. And so they understand what that word means, and they hear you as your parent pulling that out of them. Or the same thing with the word like docility. Docility is, you know, this willingness to be taught. And we all want our children to have, you know, this docile heart, to be open to what God calls them to be. But that it's also lived out in how they are each day. You know, you want them to be able to say yes to when you ask them to do a chore, right? But if you notice it, you can say, you know, I really appreciate your docility. You know, you're willing to listen, you know, this flexibility. So it increases your relationship with them, and it's building character. You know, you're giving this strengthening, this interior life with the feedback that you're giving to them, and they feel seen in a very meaningful way.
And it's almost bringing that verbiage within the home that they don't have.
Right.
You're arming them almost with the words and associating with the virtue that you're living that month. And this is, you break this down like monthly, sister, that's what I was going to do. But is it weekly? How does this actually work? And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, does this nourish also the gifts that God has within them? Because the more they're living out the virtue, the more God's gifts can come out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. So I what I say is that when we created the resources, we put everything together. So it depends on the family. You know, if I work with the schools, it depends on the school. Some people do it monthly. Some people do it weekly. Sometimes they do it according to needs that may come up. It could be individually with different children. But you're so right when we talk about, you know, that the gifts, you know, were infused in us in baptism, and St. Thomas Aquinas aligns the gifts of the Holy Spirit with the virtues. And that when we're living the virtuous life, what happens is that we kind of create this interior harmony and an order to how we're living. And what that does is it enables us to be more attuned to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And it gives us this deeper inner conviction that we're more open, we're listening more attentively because we have this order within ourselves and how we've structured our life and how we're seeking to live. And so it's really beautiful because it brings forth. And then, of course, what happens when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are more present in how we're living, then the fruits are manifested. And that's even, you know, even more wonderful because, you know, we see that manifested in our family and in our lives, and we experience the joy of living the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, absolutely. And I know people listening to this right now, if you could think of just maybe one or two vices that you struggle with, and all of us could probably, I know I could think of like five, or, you know, there are things that people struggle with. Everybody struggles. We're all sinners. Nobody is 100% saint yet. And we're striving for that. But everybody has those vices. And then you also can think of the virtue that could counter that. Right?
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about right now. So if you're struggling with drinking, and especially during the holidays, and it's just a time where it's like, oh, you just kind of like, it's the holidays and parties, and you're listening to music and seeing the lights, and, you know, and it's just like, oh, and that is just like almost this invitation, but it's not a good one. Even though it seems like it is, it's not. And what virtue can you get to counter that? Right, sister?
Right.
It's almost something like that. And I don't even drink, but it's just an example that I see a lot of people right now struggle with.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, that's great that you said that, because that's the beautiful thing about understanding the virtues and living them, is that there are virtues that you align to the vices in a certain sense. So you're directing yourself towards that goodness, you know, so it's a lot better to, you know, for example, if you struggle with envy with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And the virtue that you would want to practice with that is you look towards kindness. Now, of course, you may not right away be able to go out to lunch with that person that you may be struggling with that envy, but, you know, God already knows the heart, right? So the kindness that you can do is be intentional about maybe just praying for that person. And over time, that what you're struggling with can begin to diminish as you're working on kindness, focusing on that virtue. So you actually feel better about yourself, because instead of beating yourself up for all the negativity, you're like, you know what? I see my struggle, but I'm moving towards this goodness. And that's why I talked about this habit of doing good, that it helps counter that. And it's a beautiful way to live out the moral life and live in our life in Christ.
We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Sister John Dominic. So stay tuned. To Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. So for those of you that just tuned in, we are speaking with Sister John Dominic, and we are discussing virtue, but we're discussing really how to cultivate virtue within your home. And they have this beautiful program called Disciples of Christ, and it is education in virtue. And it's actually something that I know us here in the Everett household are going to be doing and starting, because you have something called a home kit, sister. And I'm excited to get it. And we are going to start it January, because you know how you always just want to reset, right? Okay, so I'm going to reset the virtue in this house and living out the faith. And one thing I wanted to ask, sister, okay, with this program, what if you have that like unruly child? A lot of us do, and the attitudes and the just different things, and they're like, oh, here we go. You know, I've heard parents say that, and I've heard my own kids say that, you know, of like, here we go. And just that one that's having that hard time. How do you kind of break that? And obviously, it's the right kind of program for the virtue.
Right, exactly. So I think one thing, when we think about virtue, and if you go back to what I said earlier, when we were talking about, when I talked about, you know, to be safe, seen, soothed, and secure, right? So when you have that unruliness, sometimes it's the acting out could be that they're wanting to be seen in a way that they may not be able to have the words to describe. The soothing that I'm talking about, not necessarily is not a giving in, right? Okay. But it's understanding and allowing them to bring to give expression to the emotions and the feelings that they may be experiencing. Because when we understand virtue, like temperance in particular, temperance and fortitude, that those are the virtues that help us in those struggles against those emotions especially with fortitude, you know, like we want to kind of give up, you know, and that enables us to pull through, or the virtue, the emotions that we feel as far as like desire, and those are the virtues related to temperance. So for example, you know, like if it's a temper, you know, well, meekness is a virtue that they could understand, and you can show them strategies, you know, let's breathe, you know, like let's kind of like deepen and kind of let that, or to walk away or to count to 10. And even though you may not actually use the word meekness, what that virtue looks like and sounds like is a way to help that unruliness or whatever emotions are kind of going on at the time to kind of let that play out. And they see you as the parent kind of giving them the shelter, right? So they feel safe in how they're expressing that. So when they're away from you, they've learned these strategies that enable them to have that. So we're really aiming towards integrating and giving the proper order to the emotions, instead of like we don't want to control it too much, because then that kind of represses it, right?
Yes.
And we want to help them kind of release it in a healthy way.
And I love what you said, the proper order of your emotions. And because
yes,
everybody's emotions are so out of control, and well, you should be able to feel how you feel, and just almost being led by your emotions, when in all actuality, no, you need to control your emotions. You need to rein yes. them in, and you can't just be thrown all over like some rag doll, because that's how you feel in the moment, right?
Right. And your intellect, your reason, right? So it's intellect and will. So the reason, and this is where prudence comes in, right? That we want our intellect, and we want that, you know, to pass in our brain. This is where the brain works. We want to pass to that part of our brain that can help us reason through that. So there's just so much understanding this that can help, you know, help your children. There's so much. I mean, we could talk forever on this, but absolutely. I mean, you really brought up a great, great topic in this.
One thing I want to warn parents about, and even yourselves, if you're not married, you're single even, this can apply to you, because let's put it this way, sister, in ABC form, okay? Like I was talking about earlier, for those of you that didn't hear about the holidays, you start hearing the music and you start seeing the decorations and the lights and you smell those familiar smells. And right then, what sister's talking about, neurologically, it brings up this familiarity of things that you do during the holidays. And some of those things may not be good. They are bad habits if it's drinking or hanging out with certain people that maybe you knew you had to cut off. Just whatever it is, all of you know that when you're starting to go there and you know it is a bad vice of yours, it is something you struggle with, that God has an antidote. The church actually has the antidote, or to counter that, of the virtue. That's what sister's talking about. And whatever that is, you can look up the virtues and say, oh, well, I'm struggling with over drinking during the holidays. What's the virtue for that, right? Mm-hmm. And what is the virtue for that, sister, for those that are wondering?
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. I know there's right. some wondering.
Yeah, no,
or
exactly.
Overeating, so, you know, it's right, the same thing. Right. It's like, oh, but all the holiday treats, you know, it's just like, you have heart problems, don't touch it. So what counters that? So they have a good example.
Right, exactly. So when we talk about virtue, you know, virtue lies in the middle, right? Mm. And we talk about raising children, we want to kind of raise them in this kind of river of grace, this integration life, you know, that everything is that we're going in the middle. So when we talk about, you know, the vices of like gluttony, you know, which would be this overindulgence. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are moderation, you know,
yep.
Temperance. Also, I would even say, you know, when we talk about prudence, because prudence is this right reason and action. So what you want to do is you want to kind of give that space to, and you know, there's three acts of a prudential act. You know, it's like there's good counsel, you get asked people for advice. So like if you have this tendency of over drinking or overeating, right? Mm-hmm. Ask someone that you trust and say, hey, have you kind of noticed this? All right. So they may say, yeah, okay. do you have any advice what I could do? And they may tell you. But the last part of it, so it's good counsel, good, you know, right judgment, and then command. Command is actually doing it, you know? So you can ask people for advice, but never do it, right?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Temperance, moderation. And then when we get into those other ones, like, you know, with lust, obviously we know those are with chastity. Mm-hmm. You know, there's purity, moderation, you know, modesty, fortitude, prudence. I mean, there's all so many related to that. And even, you know, when you really study, when you really start studying the virtues, even the theological virtue of faith, okay, which is the gift that God has given to us to be able to believe all that he has revealed, that one of the vices that counter faith is lust. And in order to cultivate the theological virtue of faith is to live this life of chastity. Mm. And so because what happens is that this dullness of mind kind of kicks in, and that we begin to, you know, these lower powers, these lower appetites begin to interfere with right reason. And usually what starts going away is our belief and our faith, and we want to kind of pick and choose what the church teaches so I don't have to give up my lifestyle, right?
Exactly. So, like, you're getting invited to that party once a year that you know where that person is that you have no business being around. Or that party where you know, like, oh, those people, and I've stayed away a whole year, you know, I'm serious. And it's just like, well, just this one time, oh, that one time could be the fall. You know, you have to be careful entertaining these temptations, because you entertain them, you think about them, then they come out of your mouth, then they become the action, and it's just little stepping stones, you know?
Right. And another thing, you know, when you talk about the, you know, this is so great what St. Thomas Aquinas talks about, you know, with charity, you know, what's the proper order of love? The proper order of love is love of God, love of self, and then love of others. Now, that kind of sounds a little counterintuitive, but just this example you're giving is that, you know, sometimes we always feel like, okay, I have to push aside what I have for somebody else. But if it isn't your first responsibility, right, is to get yourself, right, and your family to heaven, right? So you may have to say no to something that you feel like you got to say yes to because it's not good for you and your spiritual life and your relationship with God, right?
Yes.
If you're
talking yourself into something saying, oh, well, I'm stronger now. If you're trying to have to say to yourself that you're stronger now, you probably aren't, because you're trying to, like, prep yourself up to something that may not be there. So just have a sobering look and reality into where you are at before you go back to something that really may not be good for you, all under the guise and excuse of, oh, well, it's the holidays. That's not a justification for sin, you know?
Let's just be
real clear on that, you know?
Yeah.
And the one thing that we have to understand with virtue, sister, and just like vice, virtue is a gift from the Holy Spirit. All the virtues, right? And it's something we also have to pray for. These are things that give you spiritual strength, and that you have to actually pray for to cultivate these things within your life.
Exactly. And we say, I use this line of scripture where God gives the growth, you know,
so I love it.
So it's our participation, our response to God sharing his life with us in grace, right? And that he's really the one that's enabling us, you know, to live this way. We're participating in his very life when we're living virtuously, and we do need to pray, you know. And this is what makes what we've put together with Disciple of Christ Education and Virtue distinctly different than any other virtue program. There are a lot of them out there in the secular way, but that can lead to a Pelagianism where it's my human excellence, right? So I'm the one who's done this. But when we're looking at virtue from this, through this Catholic lens, through this Catholic worldview, is God is the one who brings this to fruition, who nurtures us in our life, and we pray for it. So for every virtue, we have prayers that can be said. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, what can I do that I need this virtue? I need to increase this. Well, there's a prayer that you can pray every day, you know, and ask God to help you this virtue increase in your life. And we have scripture verses. We've got saints. You can ask that saint, you know, to intercede for you. If you notice, you know, one of your children is struggling with something, you know, when you see the saint that we've associated with that virtue, pray to that saint, you know, ask him to intercede for your son or daughter that could be struggling with something in particular, you know, and you're surrounding them with the communion of saints to help them, you know, to nurture this interior life for them, again, because we're fighting for their minds and their hearts.
Yes, and that's what parents have to understand. And to always remember that at the end of the day, one day your children will be leaving you. And I'm going to be coming up on that here pretty soon. In 2 years, I have 2 children that will be going to college. And it really is in the forefront of my mind. And I'm thinking, what foundation, what weapons, what virtues, what have I instilled in my children when they walk out that door? And I'm literally imagining them walking away with, like, what weapons have I given them to fight against the evils of this world? And have I done a good job in that? And I really am asking myself those questions right now, because I still have time, and there's still time within your homes to put these foundations down, no matter how much they may fight, no matter how much you think they may not be listening to you or care, give you an attitude. So what? They're going to do it anyway. You're going to get an attitude anyway. At least you're trying to put an antidote and a virtue against the vice coming at you, right? You have a shield against the arrows of the vice. So it's like, why wouldn't I do these things? And that's why I'm going to set the stage for everyone. And come January 1st, I'm going to start doing one virtue each month in our home. I'm going to do this program. And we have given our children the faith, but I just keep imagining when they leave, what have I really equipped them with? And I want to make sure they have the full armor of God in every way possible. So when they do go, they know how to fight the onslaught that will come against them. And I think it's important as parents that we take it very seriously. We're in a battle. This is a war. And I don't know, sister, I heard this phrase. I thought it was awesome. And it really rang true, at least for me and how I live out my faith, that when you are confirmed, you are basically getting recruited into the army of God with the Holy Spirit. And he gives you the gifts. And at that point, you are infused with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he wants to give to you, right? And everybody has that. Like, you're not less than, or you're not important enough or not loved enough by God to have gotten that. If you were confirmed, everybody is the same. Now, your gifts are not, but everybody has the ability to dive into the gifts that God has given you through the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that confirmation, you know, they're stirred up. What we receive them, you know, at our baptism, there's a greater outpouring, the stirring up that they receive at confirmation. And, you know, oftentimes, if you look at when they receive confirmation, it's during those kind of early teen years, right? Mm-hmm. When there's a lot of struggle that's going on within them. And then this is beautiful that the church has this time when they're just receiving this greater outpouring. Now, it may not be that way in every diocese, but we can never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit that's alive and active within each young person, and to bring those, you know, help. And that's what the virtues do. It begins to nurture that, to bring those alive. We want to bring those to fruition in their lives to enable them, to strengthen them as they live, you know, lived out their life in Christ.
See, and I want to, this was mind-blowing for me, sister, okay? Here's an example. So, you know how you think your kids aren't listening, especially your teenagers and teenage boys are not listening in church? I'm like, are they really getting this, you know? And I'm just like, I'm just like, I don't know. And in mass, he just always seems so distracted, and his knees like going up and down, like this nervous twitch of like, oh my gosh, when is this going to be? Oh, you know? And I'm just like, what is happening? But it was beautiful because a couple weeks ago, his friend was, I guess, struggling, whatever. And he asked him, he was like, well, when's the last time you went to confession? He's like, well, I haven't been since my first confession. And he's like, he's in his teens now, you know? And my son heard that. And he actually asked Jason if he could set an appointment with our parish priest to get him confession. And he actually took his friend to confession. on a weekend with his free time, other than work and everything else he has. And I literally, my breath was taken away. Okay. I was in shock of like,
that's beautiful.
I said, what made you do that, Colby? He's like, I don't know, a homily I heard at church. And I was like, wait, what? I was just like, wait, what? And here I am thinking, oh my gosh, she's just gone, distracted. So parents, if you think you're not doing a good job, or they're not listening, or not going to get it, or they're not really going to do this program if I try to do or implement these different virtues in our home, you really never know. You never know what the Holy Spirit is doing. As long as we say yes to what we're asked to be doing, that will give the ability of the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in our lives and our children's lives. Right, sister?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, you know, we lead them and then we just kind of take a step back and the Holy Spirit, you know, goes, does his job. He works our working in their hearts. Yep.
Right. And I think if anything, the biggest thing, the takeaway, if you take anything away from this, to teach your children to listen to that small, still voice, because I don't care how bad I was before my conversion and how far away from God in that darkness, I still heard God pursuing me and calling me. And I still knew right from wrong. I mean, you just know, sister, if you're not supposed to be somewhere, not supposed to be doing this, not supposed to be drinking that, no matter, I couldn't numb it, sister. I couldn't make it quiet. That voice would not go away, but I did my absolute best and Jesus still pursued me in that darkness. And I really have tried to instill in my kids, always listen. No matter what's going on, no matter what judgment you get, if you hear that small, still voice, you do it and you be obedient, because God is trying to protect you. He's trying to take care of you and he's trying to lead you on the right path. And that is your compass to heaven. That's the easiest way I could tell my kids in the ABC form. That is the compass to heaven. Just listen and do it, done, right? And it's not easy.
Exactly.
And we always don't do it, right, sister?
It is, you know, it's true. And the thing, I think, if we really stop down to think, it was like, what is it that he loves? You know, he loves us in our messiness. He loves our sins because that's why he came. He came to save us from our sins, you know? So we oftentimes we think, oh, I have to say the most perfect prayer for him to love me. Well, he loved me first, 1 John 4:19, right? So what is it that he really wants from us? You know, he wants our sins. Our sins, because our sins are what enslave us. They're the ones that prevent us from fully experiencing his love and to be able to live in freedom, you know? And that's really the most beautiful gift we can give him, you know, even during this season, you know, Christmas season or all these times, you know, even this beautiful example of your son taking his friend, what greater love can you give? I love that it's isn't it beautiful? His name is Colby, right?
Okay. Yes.
And so isn't that what Maximilian Colby did, you know, and, you know, get lay down his life for somebody. And that's a beautiful way which your son has done that. He brought his friend to Jesus to experience that freedom. That's beautiful.
I was super proud of him. Like, yes, you know, behind closed doors, like, yes, you know. A win for the parents, you know, because you always feel like you fail. But sister, your beautiful program, and I am going to start this in those moms that want to implement this in your homes with me as well. It's coming the new year. I'm going to just post something once a month or twice a month of, look, we're starting this virtue. This is how it's going. And I think it'd be great, and it'd be great to have other moms doing this as well with me, because it's hard, sister. It's really hard right now.
It is.
But we have all the tools that we need that God has given us, no matter how difficult it seems. We do have what we need to get through it. He does give it to us, you know, but we need to look at it in almost a godly way, because we're people of God, and not a worldly way, because we are not living in the world and being of the world. We are people of God and we have to act like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
With that being said, sister, we're coming to a close. Where can people find this program, all the information about you, social media, all that good stuff? Give us the rundown.
Oh, great. Okay. So openlightmedia.com. So that's just all one word, openlightmedia.com. And then in the shop, we've got a starter kit. And so there's one called the Home Starter Kit. And for a little bit less than $100, okay, you can transform your home and you'll get the resources that you need. And you'll also get access to Open Light Media Plus, which is our learning portal. And in there, we have videos. There's a video series called Cultivating the Virtues. And the sisters go through and they teach every virtue. Okay, so there's the sister giving the instruction about the virtue. So if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can get this, okay, mm-hmm. turn it on, stand behind your children and watch the sister teach them. So if you want to have your children exposed to religious sisters, so there's a sister mm-hmm. teaching the lesson. Then we have a short little cartoon or a story that kind of shows that virtue maybe not fully being practiced. Then we have a saint virtue. We have a saint video, which talks about a virtue related to that saint. And then to end out that series, we have what we call a Lectio Divina, where a sister will walk you actually to, and even those who are watching it, walk them through a scripture passage and just prayerfully reading the Word of God to allow that virtue or living that out to kind of be integrated into their hearts and really this openness that we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. So it's in there. So I highly, you know, you can have access to that and all the other content that's in Open Light Media Plus. And this year we're going to be releasing some really great programs. We're also in social media. We do a lot with social media. Instagram, Education in Virtue, at Education in Virtue. We've got a lot of reels on there where you can see the fruit of this, where we have students from the school give a short little commentary, a short little thing about virtues or something, and you can see how they've been able to integrate it into their life from kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade. And then we always do postings about virtues, so there's lots there. We're also on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and then on YouTube. We have Open Light Media. You can subscribe there. And we've got lots of videos there, interviews that we have. We did a whole series called Manners Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
Sisters. Yeah.
There you go, parents. We're not seeing a lot of that these days. We need help. A lot of us need help with that. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So the sisters are going to teach some manners so you can show that to them every Monday. And we have another little series called Great to Be Grateful. And there's lots of other radio interviews. There's interviews that we have with different guests. There's the sisters' vocation stories. I've interviewed Dr. Karen Villa, who is an interpersonal neuropsychologist. We talk a lot about what we've had conversations about here in the neuroscience. And then there's just some other fun interviews that you can find on there that we've had with different special guests.
You also do a lot of work with EWTN and have program with them, don't you? And you can also get some of their materials on EWTNRC.com. What programs do you have with them, sister?
Right now, there's a video series we did, Education of Virtue, and that's a DVD. That's also on our website, and they'll air that. And then they also have two time slots a week where they put our programming on there. So kind of that varies month to month. So we have got a beautiful collaboration with them, and I think there'll be more things that we'll be doing later.
Oh, I'm excited, sister. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for being here and breaking all of this down for us. And I'm excited to start our program here. And I will let you know how it goes, sister. But God bless you and all of the sisters over there.
Well, thank you very much. And you remain in our prayers. And all you out there who are listening, the beautiful thing when you do this, we pray for you. So the sisters are behind this and you've got this. You can do it.
That's right. Thank you, sister. I love that. God bless you and happy Advent.
Thank you. God bless.
I want to thank my guest again, Sister John Dominic, for being here. And for those of you that didn't know, my latest book, Women Made New, is out. And you can get it at EWTNRC.com. And if you type in new books at checkout, you can get 10% off. And it's an excellent book for that grandmother, that aunt, that wife, that friend that you just know she needs help, but you don't know have the right words to say. Whatever it is that they are going through, I know these words of wisdom from all these beautiful women and father can maybe help them through these hard times. So you can get my new book at EWTNRC.com. Have a great weekend, everyone, and God bless.